And welcome back in Stripe Show Podcast. Thank you for making us part of your day. Special edition here on the Stripe Show Podcast with a guy that really needs no introduction. One of the greats here, Darius Rucker. Darius, thank you for joining me here on the podcast.
Hello, thanks for having me. Thank you.
So, you know, we just had the Masters, and I know you do an event. It's called Monday After the Masters,
yeah.
And you've done it every year.
27 years. Yeah.
So let's just make this. This is Wednesday after the Masters. Is that cool? Here on the Stripe
Absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely.
Wednesday. That. Wednesday on the after the Masters. That's when this is going to air. All right, I like that. So next year though, they're going to be back in April. Is it all set for the following year?
Yeah, I think we'll do it. I mean, it's such a staple of the year for South Carolina, okay. You know, Myrtle Beach and everything. So I'm sure we'll do it again next year.
Do you watch, you get to watch the tournament?
Yeah, Masters? I did. I watched a lot of the Masters this year. It was, it went the way I thought it was going to go. I was saying it about 3 or 4 weeks out. You know, Dustin's playing his best. I don't think anybody can beat him. And knowing him and being friends with him and knowing how much Augusta means to him.
Yeah.
And you know, and his brother, who's a real good friend of mine, and knowing how much it meant to them that if he could. He was going to play his A game, and they were going to have to beat him. And when he's on his A game, I don't think anybody can beat him right now.
Yeah. So I said, coming in, I was like, we're kind of forgetting about Dustin Johnson here. I know he had 2 weeks there with COVID.
Yeah.
Right? And then Bryson, and, you know, he was dominating the headlines. Yeah. And then, you know, you look at the betting favorites, and Dustin's down there in number five. I'm like, Dustin Johnson's the best player in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's figured out how to play Augusta.
Yeah.
And man, did he ever. He just,
like, you know, and people say he had 2 weeks off for COVID. You know, he had 2 weeks sitting in his hitting room hitting balls.
<That's it. Yeah. laughs> You know, and practicing putting.
Putting in his backyard on the Augusta side of his green that he's got. You know, I mean, it was, you know, and he, like you said, he's the best player in the world. And I know how much he wanted it. And it was the one that was eluding him.
Yeah. He grew up. Just about an hour away, right?
Yeah.
Just right down the
Absolutely,
road.
Absolutely, man. Right down the road. He's one, you know, one of the prides of South Carolina.
Yeah, it was a cool story, too. They were telling when he was young, they were saying that he had a couple chances to play Augusta, and he didn't go. Because he said that when I earn the right to play Augusta is when I'll play Augusta.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. That was a pretty neat story. As a young kid, I'm like, I'm in. I'm going to Augusta National. So he turned it down a couple times.
It's so funny that you say that because my kid, I wanted to take him to Augusta, and he said, "Dad, I don't want to go." And I was like, "Why wouldn't you want to go?" He's like, well, "I haven't really earned my." He's like, "I don't want to go. I don't want to play. I haven't earned my right to play it." And you know, with mom and I, we yell at him and say, "You have to go." And he goes and he plays it, and now. Like he just never wants to play it again until he earns it, and he always says, "I don't remember anything about it because I didn't feel like I should be out there." And I was like, "Wow, go kid!
How's he playing?
He can play. Yeah. He's getting better and better. He's 16, getting better and better."
Yeah. Nice. How's your game right now? I know you play what you're like a three, right?
I'm like a five or something, but I'm not playing too. You know, I'm a five because this handicap system is whack. That's why I'm a five, man. I'm bringing back old words. I'm bringing back whack. The handicap system is whack because I'm like putting in 85s and 84s and 83s, and then you drop 174. You play well one day, and you're a five. You know, and that stays in there forever. And, man... And then you go out and shoot 84 with a five and lose money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
No.
It's like, how do I go from a 5 to a 5.2?
Yeah.
When I've just posted, a couple 84s and an 86. And
That's crazy, man. My next level, when I'm done, you know, singing, I've decided just now what I'm going to do. And I'm going to get on the committee. Who's the handicap committee? And I'm gonna somehow become the chairman and fix this.
Well, they could probably
I should really be like a 12. Yeah. I should be like a 12.
They could use you. They could probably use you at the USGA. Yeah,
that's my job. I'm gonna be head of the USGA. That's my next job. No, just the handicap committee. I don't get crazy.
how long you been doing this, Darius? How long you been on the road singing and hooting the blowfish to Darius Rucker?
35 years.
35 years.
Yeah, 2019.
How much longer you think before?
I'm going to do this country music thing until they stop playing me.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. I mean, I'm loving it.
Are you?
I'm loving every part of it and loving being part of the community and loving the records I'm making. And so I'm going to do that. But there's a couple other things I want to do outside of country and musically I'll probably do at some point. But I don't think I'll ever stop playing.
You know, how'd that song do? I think it was called Wagon Wheel. How'd that one work out for you?
You know, that song, I wish more people had gotten to hear that song. That's funny. Yeah, that one did all right.
Yeah. That one worked out all right, right?
Yeah, it was crazy. I did it on such a whim. And that one worked out okay for me. Yeah. That one, yeah.
So you travel around, you play a lot of golf.
Yeah.
Like what parts of the country do you like to play golf in? What are some of your favorite spots?
Oh, like I'm a member out here, Scottsdale National. My son and I make at least one, usually two trips every year.
Okay.
Just come in and spend 4 days and just play. Nothing but golf, because this place,
45 holes here.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. Yeah. You got all the golf you want. You know, it's really, we love it here. I love, you know, people always ask me what my favorite course is, and I say my top three courses are Augusta, Augusta, and Augusta.
How many times you played it?
I've been fortunate. I do this charity event for, usually I've done it, I think 12 of the last 15 years or something, and I do it on Tuesday of Augusta week for their first tee. And there's some guys on the board that are members that are very, very nice to me, and they'll get me on once or twice. So I've got to play it a few times. And every time I play it, I swear it's like the first time I'm playing it.
Yeah. What's your favorite hole?
One. And I'll tell you why. My favorite hole is one. Because every time I'm standing on one, and this happens every time, I can't believe I'm playing Augusta National.
Yeah.
Every time I'm standing on one, I can't believe I'm here.
Yeah. Golf course stood up pretty well, you know? I mean, it stood up. It really did. I mean, it was soft. It was soft, and DJ went to 20, and then, you know, your second place is at 15, and then you go to 13. I mean, there wasn't many guys above 13.
No. I mean, that's what people look at. They look at, like, DJ score, you know, the next guy, and they think, you know, well that's, you know, the course didn't do it. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Those guys just played their butts off, because, like you said, if you look at the other scores, it was Augusta.
That's right.
You know, what, do you win by 5 strokes?
That's right.
You know, who wins Augusta by 5 strokes? Yeah. Usually we're sitting there on Sunday, you know, waiting for somebody to drop a bogey or somebody to make that miracle eagle from somewhere, you know. We're not the people pulling for the other guys aren't pulling for doubles and triples, because that's not going to happen.
I think it stood up nicely. You had two guys at 15,
absolutely.
Two at 13.
And it's somebody asked me, you know, a few weeks ago, you know, you think it's going to be all the flowers and stuff going to be in bloom? And Augusta was like, do you know Augusta? Of course they are.
Yeah.
Of course they are.
It's coming up. It's, you know what? We're 143 days away, and we'll be back up there again. So
yeah, and it'll be the greatest place in golf.
Yeah, and then we'll do Monday after the Masters. After that, yeah, I thought it stood up well. You've played with DJ before.
Yeah,
you played with DJ friends. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So is he like? Does it take him literally like 2 seconds out of the cart and he hits it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When you're playing like a scramble, just you're playing a bunch, you know, with a bunch of buddies. Because, you know, usually, you know, we'll be playing from one up and he'll be playing from the tips. And, you know, you won't even know he hit and it's gone. Yeah. It's not a lot of time. He ain't sitting there thinking about it.
There's a great, you know, so on the Masters website, right, you can go and you can watch every shot of every player. So you can go to the groups. And I can't remember who he was playing with on Friday, but he teed off before Dustin. And he hits it, and they're following the ball in the air, and it comes down, and it's a live audio. And the ball's rolling, and all of a sudden, bam, the next ball's in the air. And it was Dustin hitting after him. That's how fast he hit it. That ball wasn't done rolling down number two
yet. Absolutely. And the thing is, he's not trying to play fast. That's just his tempo.
Yeah.
You know, he just wants to hit the ball. He's not out there trying to – he's not working on it or thinking about it. You know, this is my swing. This is what I got. Let's go do it.
And he's just like, wedge. Look,
Let's go. Yeah, hit the ball. Let's move. You know, I love the guys that play like that. Brooks plays like that.
Yeah.
You know, I love the guys that play like that.
Who else you like playing with? Who some of your guys that you like to hang
with? You know, Justin Thomas. I love Justin. Yeah. He's a great dude. Ricky Fowler. Yeah. I love Ricky. You know, Tiger's my guy. Mm. You know, we're real tight. Yeah. You hate to name anybody because there's so many guys out there. You know, Pat Perez.
Yeah.
Good friend of mine. I've known Pat for 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just a bunch of guys out there that I've known and I got to play with to become friends with. And,
yeah, you've played with a lot of them.
Snez. Played with Snez just the other day.
Did you?
Yeah. You know, just about a week ago.
Nice.
You know.
I thought, you know, it's all about reps with Tiger, of course, right? If he can practice, he can practice, then he can get out there and play. It's still there, right? But when he can't practice, you know, and you can't get the reps, and you can't get the tournament reps, it's hard to compete.
Absolutely.
At the PGA Tour. So you have a place in Charleston?
Yes, I do.
So when we go to Charleston, where am I going to play?
Oh, you're going to play at Bulls Bay, for sure.
Yeah.
You got to play Bulls Bay. You got to play the Country Club of Charleston. Cause, you know, we had that the Women's Open a couple of years ago. That's a really great
course. That looked great.
You know, having the U.S. Women's Open, you know, wow.
Golf course looked great.
You know, you got Yeamans Hall there, you know, consistently in the top 60 in the country.
Yeah.
That's a great place. Then, of course, you got to go to Kiowa and play Cacique and River and Ocean. You know, these, I mean, then that's the thing about Charleston. And I just named, what, six? And there's 20 more I can name that I think you have to play.
Well, hidden gems, right? Like, it's a little golf mecca.
Absolutely. It is. People don't, that's a lie. People know because there's a lot of folks coming there just to play golf. So they're lying saying people don't know. No, they know. Yeah. They just come play golf and leave.
Okay.
But I'm easy moving. But it's a place with a lot of golf. You can get, I mean, you could play, come there for, you know, a couple weeks and play someplace new every day.
Mm. You know, where am I going to eat?
You're going to eat it. If you can get in, I always say if you can get in, it's usually a 2-month wait, but you can get in. It's a place called Fig, which is my favorite restaurant in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
Fig.
Yeah.
2 months?
I mean, for you guys. I mean, if you're with me, we're getting in tonight. if you were to call right now on the phone, they'd probably say a 2-month wait. Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute. I need you to talk to somebody real quick. I dare you take that.
But that place is, you got great places like T-Bones, and you got for seafood, you got, Pearls and all these other great places. Then you got Hall's Steakhouse down there that is the hangout place right in the middle of the town. So this restaurant, I always say this, and I mean this, we don't have the number of restaurants of like a New York, but if you talk about quality, we rival anywhere in the country.
Really?
Oh, yeah, we're a foodie town.
I'm booking my trip right now.
Come on.
Right, three nights, four rounds.
Come on, absolutely.
Okay. And then Fig, you make a call first.
I'll make a call for you. I'll get you at the bar.
I'll take it. I'll stand and eat right there in the corner. I don't need much.
You're bringing out a funny side of it.
Just a little little clear drink and a little corner there where I can, you know, just put my food down and off I go.
I got you, man. I got you.
So you're playing golf, a lot of pro-ams, right? More nerve-wracking, first tee. Getting ready to hit a shot or walking out first song, sold out crowd.
Oh, because I'm nervous when I'm walking on stage. There's no doubt about it. But the most nervous I'm ever, every year is playing the Pebble Beach Pro-Am and standing on number one.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Great story about it. I'm playing I get there on Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm playing the celebrity shootout, me and Bill Murray are partners. Okay. And so they're letting the press on the punting green and everything. We're talking, so all the, I'm probably giving 5 interviews. And every interview asks the same question, you know, like, are you nervous that you're going to, you know, on number one? I was like, yeah, I'm nervous. I'm going to shank it and pull it and hit somebody in the head. So we're going, and I'm telling you, every reporter asked me this question. So we're walking up, you know, the back chute that you walk up to number one, and we're all walking up. And sure enough, I get up the top. There's another reporter. They interview me real quick, ask me the same question. I say the same thing. I get up there, man. There's probably the gallery's full. It's a celebrity shootout. The gallery's full right there in long number one. You know, I get up there, man, and I hit it in a hosel. And I'm trying to kill it. I hit in the hosel with a driver, and it goes straight left. And it's going right at the crowd. I mean, it's going right at the crowd on the left side. And it goes, I'm talking about if the last guy was 6'2", it went 6'2 and a half. And it went right over the head, and it was dead silent. And then we hear it hit the fence. Boom. Mm. And so everybody laughs. We hear it hit the fence, and I'm freaked out. I'm like, I almost killed somebody. Freaked out. You know, we come on, we finish the hole. So the next, about 2 days later, we're playing with Jim Furyk, who's my partner in the pro-am, and we're playing Pebble. Mm-hmm. And we get to number one, and he had bought 300 hard hats, and he had passed them out to everybody along number one.
That's funny.
And it was so funny. I got up to number one, and it was perfect. I got up to number one, and everybody just put their hard hat on when I beat it up. It was hilarious.
It probably calmed you down.
It made me laugh. Yeah. I had a decent shot that time, but yeah, it was pretty funny. That was one of the greatest pranks ever. It was great.
How do you handle the nerves? I mean, sold out crowd. like you've been through it. Like you have been on the stage doing it in front of millions of people.
Yeah.
How do you handle it? Is it just kind of like get out there? You know,
I think on this, when the, with the work and with the music, if I ever stop getting nervous, I should stop playing.
Okay.
Because it does, it means it doesn't matter anymore. Mm-hmm. I really feel like if I don't feel a little twang and a little nervous and a little, okay, we got to do this right before we go on, then it doesn't matter to me anymore. So I just deal with it. You go with it. Because mm-hmm. once you hit the first note, hit the, you know, mm-hmm. Let's do this. There's no stopping now.
Yeah.
But, so that, I think that's a good thing to be nervous, because that means you really care.
When you're playing and you're going through the songs and people are singing every single lyric of the song. Yeah. I mean, that can be, I can only imagine how gratifying that is, right? And how happy that's got to make you. But are you listening to the band and like little things? Like, are there little things that you guys have worked on that you're picking up on that no one else would even notice? Right.
Well, yeah. I mean, always, you know, like, and we're fun. Like, when we do a big tour, you know, everybody's got a mic that only we can hear.
Okay.
And so, there's some funny shit that can go on.
I always wonder about that.
Yeah, some funny stuff that can go on.
I always wonder about that.
I mean, there's some really funny stuff being said sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, but the only thing I really hear, because with those headphones, all you can really hear is the band and you and, you know, the crowd. You hear the crowd afterwards because, you know, they turn those microphones up and you can hear that. But during the show, you hear the band, and I'm always... There's always a moment, and every night, and it sounds so stupid, but every night there's a moment where I go, holy shit, I'm playing golf. I'm playing music for a living to these 18,000 people. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's all I've wanted to do since I was four, and this is what I'm doing. It's pretty awesome. Yeah. I don't know if you can say that word on this podcast. And if not, I'd like to apologize to all the parents out there listening right now.
You're fine. You're fine. I got one more question on your golf game.
Okay.
So... give me just an little assessment, driver through putter. Do you work with Matt Killen?
I do.
Okay, so you work with Matt.
I work with Matt Killen, yes.
I know Matt well.
Yes.
What are you guys working on right now? Any insight, like any specific?
My problem is I come over the top so much because I get so quick. And Matt has me with this great drill that if you're out there tomorrow and you're out there the next day, see me warm up, it's a great drill with, you know, the sticks and everything, because I just have a real problem with coming over the top. But, you know, for me, I drive usually pretty well. I can get in the
okay.
And if I'm hitting my irons, I'm gonna have a great day because I'm hitting greens. I can always putt.
Yeah.
You know. But
what's your miss?
My
with your
miss
iron?
Is pulling it left.
Pulling it. Okay.
Pulling it all the time.
Okay.
And if I'm not on the green and I can't putt it, if I'm not on the green and I can't putt it, I'm getting double. Yeah. Unless I'm in the sand. Okay. In the sand, I might get par. But if I'm anywhere and I have to chip the ball, doubles my friend.
All right, so I'm going to read between the lines there.
Yeah.
So the short game.
Awful. And Matt, Matt works, he works on it all the time.
Okay.
I mean, we live down the street from each other. So he works on my short game all the time. And I'm telling you, for a week, 2 weeks, woo!
Okay.
I'm Phil Mickelson. And then all of a sudden, I'm Bobby Mickelson. I don't believe it. It's gone. I don't know what it is.
This game, man, I'll tell you, you see anything like it ever?
No.
This game? Play
no.
anything like it?
No. But I've never loved playing a game more than I've
really?
Loved this. And I mean, I loved football. I really thought I wanted to play in the NFL and basketball, man. When I was good as a little kid, it was nothing like being on that starting five and being able to put up with shots and everything. But man, I always say the two things, I started early, but not really. You know, you start playing when you're 14, but you're going out once a month with your best friend's dad to the Navy base course. You know, that's not really getting lessons or anything. You're just out there whacking balls around. But I always say that my mom should have told me one of two things. She should have put a little white ball in my hand, let me go for it, or she just told me to drive fast and turn left. And she didn't do either one of those things. She didn't do either one of those things, man.
Oh man, it's a frustrating game, and I always say it in teaching size, like I was like, there's a lot of job security in this game because you know it's the endless pursuit, and as soon as you start tasting a little bit of like improvement too, then it's got you.
Dude, the worst thing about golf, and I don't know, I feel that other golf stuff, it feels like, you know, Matt will show me something, like I go out and for a while it works. And then I go out the next day, you know, this happened just the other day. I shoot even at our course. I go out and I shoot even. I'm man, I'm hitting the ball.
That's awesome.
I go out the next day and I think in my mind, I'm doing exactly what I did yesterday in shooting 84. And I'm like, where is the problem? I'm doing exactly what I did yesterday. No, I'm not.
Oh, it's I would say it's a huge bell curve.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's a huge bell curve in golf. There really is.
I mean, like you said it, like you're a golf instructor, that's job security.
And it's like, I think the better you get at it, like you're a good golfer.
I would like to think so.
No, you are. I mean, if you're a 5 handicap, the average handicap in the United States for a male, I think 16.
Disclaimer, handicap system is whack.
Whatever that means. But trust me, you're playing much better golf than most. But I always think like the better you get, they start seeing that improvement, then they just, it's like, it becomes even more mental, and it becomes the improvement becomes harder.
Oh yeah,
it's more incremental at that point. Yeah, yeah.
Well, people always ask me what was like. You know, when Hootie first started, I was a 22.
Yeah.
You know, and the jump from 22 to 14, that wasn't. I mean, that's fundamentals, hitting the ball. You know, stop hitting the ball out of bounds and stuff like that. Then you do that jump from 14, to, you know, to 8, which is, that's a pretty tough jump.
Yeah, it is.
But when you're doing that 8-5 jump, man,
tough.
That's tough.
5-3, tough.
5-3, like when scratch. When I actually play with people who are scratch, I go, I always say you had to play at some point in your life, like wanted to play professionally, because that's to get to scratch.
Yeah,
I couldn't imagine it.
Well, then look at Tiger; he's a +9.
Yeah.
Imagine being a scratch.
Oh, he's +9. You've been trying to jip me. Talk about you only going to give me 5. I'm getting 14. Oh, my goodness. You're going to give me 5. Yeah. I'm getting 14.
I think he was a +9. I'm pretty sure.
14.
Can you imagine showing up scratch and like, you know, you're a good player, scratch.
Yeah.
And like, I need 9 shots.
Yeah. I need 9 shots. Oh.
And you need more than that, too, usually, at a tough golf course. I mean, you're going to need more than that.
I play in the club, Match Play Club Championship at Bulls Bay once, and I get there to play my guy, and I show up to play the first round, and my guy is getting 33.
No.
Yeah, no. And goes out and shoots 84.
No, no. You can't do that.
He beat me like 6-5.
You can't do that.
I was so mad.
That is not.
It was
you
funny.
Can't. I got to ask you one football question real quick. Gamecocks.
Yes, the Dolphins are going to the Super Bowl. Oh, my bad. Gamecocks?
Yeah.
Yeah, who are we going
to get? What are they going to do?
You know, there's guys out there. That everybody's talking about freezing and everything. You know, all I know is I don't speak for all the Gamecock boosters or whatever. All I know is I'm tired of getting people in being mediocre. When you can see Mac Brown go to North Carolina and all of a sudden, in 2 years, North Carolina is number 5 in the country. You know, you see Coastal, what they're doing at Coastal. You see what they're, and yeah, we play in the SEC. I get that.
Yeah.
We play in the SEC, but to not compete, to every year to not even be mentioned is just, maybe it's just the way it's going to be or what it is, but I gotta believe that some coach, Spurrier did it.
Yeah.
I gotta believe that some coach can come in here and get us to where we can actually contend. Just like get us in the SEC championship game.
Yeah.
Don't get us.
You Dolphins fan?
Huge Dolphin fan.
They look good. I tell you what, they have got the coach. Speaking of good coaches,
Dolphin fan, book your ticket to the Super Bowl.
Oh boy,
Coach Flo's the man.
Yeah,
so we're building a dynasty down there, man.
I think they're a year away.
We're building a dynasty. We got 317 draft picks right now.
Yeah, you got some real.
Next year, we got half of next year's draft.
So I say you might be a year, 2 years away. But man, the future looks.
The
great.
Future looks so, and it's. I'll be honest with you. It's the first time since Dan Marino that I look at our future and go, man, are we going in the right direction? It's like I said one night at dinner when somebody that worked for the Dolphins said, man, you're a great fan. What can we do for you? Win the Super Bowl before I die. Just give me 365 days to tell all my friends to suck it.
They're on their way.
That's all I want.
It's fun to watch. Well, I can't thank you enough, Darius.
Thank you.
Really appreciate coming on the Stripe Show podcast. We're going to play a little golf over the next 2 days, so maybe I'll take a little peek at that short game.
Please do.
Okay.
All right, I'll see
Thanks
you guys
again. Appreciate
there.
It.
Take care.
Let's take a second to talk about the guys and girls over at Encore Golf. Encore has earned a reputation of having the most cutting-edge technology in their golf balls that the industry has seen in quite some time. Their team in Buffalo, New York, is changing the script of golf technology through the perimeter-weighted designs.
use of high-density particles and even a nano-transitional layer in their latest creation, which offers players enhanced accuracy and control for every shot on the course and extreme velocity off the tee. They already have their award-winning Elixir and Avant 55 golf balls, but the new Vero X1 is the highest performance ball to date. With their full suite of golf balls, they are transforming the game for players of all skill levels. Visit encoregolf.com/Travis Fulton for more details about their products that are revolutionizing the game. Now back to the Stripe Show podcast.